Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click Join the Option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming to you live from the AO studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
NBA dropped the hammer on the Clippers.
Woo.
Wasn't enough. We order up the AFC East, and we give our playoff and Super Bowl picks for the NFL season. But we'll begin today's show with the garbage that is college football, as the Big Ten made a disgrace of themselves in the Western Michigan versus Michigan game in Ann Arbor. Closing seconds of the game, about 4 seconds left in the clock, Michigan tosses up a Hail Mary. And to everyone's eyes who watched the game, who was at the game, who played in the game, who was listening on the radio to the game was over because the pass was deflected and went out of bounds and it was incomplete. But hold on, folks. Apparently, there's a replay because the clock that everyone in the country saw and listened to was the unofficial clock, because the official clock said there was 1 second, 0.9 seconds left on a clock, and they needed to run another play. And unfortunately, Western Michigan was like, sure, give them their play. And on their second attempt, they connect them the Hail Mary, where Michigan, that's the Michigan Wolverines, won the game 13-12 against the Western Michigan Broncos?
Broncos, yes.
They're not even hiding anymore, Z. They're not even hiding anymore.
Nope. There are 12 punts in this game.
We won
this game.
Fuck you did.
Yeah. This game was fucking brutal. Absolutely fucking brutal. 12 punts. You had as many punts as you had Western Michigan points. And, you know, Michigan did have to go 75 yards on 6 plays to end the game. But with 47 of them coming in untimed down, essentially, because if you look at the box score, it's a 0.0. There is no 0.009. Like, no. This unofficial, what unofficial clock? What nonsense is this? You know, who's keeping the unofficial time of the game? Who gives a shit about the unofficial time of the game? It makes absolutely no friggin' sense. And on top of it, the refs were saying that he started his jump, right? The Western Michigan player started his jump on the back line. He was out of bounds.
And so when he touches the ball, it's dead.
Right.
And not when the ball hits the ground.
Right. The ball cleared the back of the end zone.
Didn't matter. It didn't matter.
It's a joke.
If you were watching, even on the replay.
0.0.
He touches the ball after the zero. Like,
yes.
The zero already hit the clock.
Yes.
And then time stood still.
Yes.
And he touched it. I mean, anybody who wants to go look at the replay, you can make your case yourself. But
no,
it's pretty clear. Clear as crystal.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's an absolute hose job. And if I'm Western Michigan, I'm protesting like they are. The Mac is protesting.
I do like how they took the high road at the game. They were like, okay, we accept what, you know, the Big Ten has deemed.
Yep.
But then when they got home, they were like, fuck you.
Right. Well, except for the Western Michigan president. The Western Michigan president is saying,
get out of here.
Right.
Just get out of here. You know?
The Western Michigan president is the only one who's agreeing with the result of the game. And why? Because Western Michigan got paid to play that game. Much like UMass got paid to go to Rutgers and put belt the ass against Rutgers. So
there's so many, listen, there's so many things we could talk about with this, but it's like, you know, if you put yourself in that position, like, well, I'm the coach.
You deserve to lose.
If I'm the Western Michigan coach, like I told you in this production meeting, I pull my team off the field. We're not playing another down. This fucking game's over. I'm getting the hell out of here. Yeah. You want to play the down without me and my team? Go for it. I don't give a shit. Doesn't matter. Because they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have played down. You can talk to me all you want. You can get in my ear, suspend me, whatever. Not playing. We're not playing. The game's over. Because, Z, if you watch the game, everybody on that field
knew
the game was over.
It was over, Johnny.
The game was over. Everybody in the stands knew. Everybody watching at home. But the biggest thing, Z, is the players. The players all knew the game was over. So now you go to this replay and you say to put time back on the clock, and now the energy's out. The energy's lost now. It's like, all right, yeah. I mean, like, if you're a player, right? If you're a player, you're like, fuck it. Yeah, I'll go back out there. Right. Like, whatever. We'll bat the ball down. We'll do it. But
in reality,
the energy and everything has been sucked out of this situation.
Correct.
You were just celebrating because you've got the biggest win of your college career. There will never be a bigger win than beating Michigan in the Big House on opening night. And now that just got taken away from you, and you're doing an untimed down. And you know it's coming. It's the same play, but the energy's different. Now there's a different feeling. The whole dynamic of the game completely changed.
Right.
So if you were a person who paid money to go to this game, or if you're a Western Michigan alum and you're watching this game, you spent all this time watching the game, all for it to be just sucked out. Everything that you did for the past hour, 2 hours, 3 hours you were watching this game was sucked out because there's a third of a second or whatever a second needs to be put on this clock to finish this game. And it's just, it's fraud. It's highway robbery. If you bet on the game, if you went to the game, if you watched the game, you were robbed. There's no other way to put it. You were robbed. You were robbed of an ending. And I've been saying this for years, and yet, well, this weekend was the punctuation mark on what I've been saying all along. Get rid of replay. It does not work. It doesn't work, no matter how you cut it. First of all, the situation didn't need it, and even when you play it, it doesn't make any sense. There's no way that not more than a second goes off the clock after the clock hits zero and he touches that fucking ball. And I don't care. That's not what replay was made for.
Nope.
Made for getting egregious calls, right? But we've taken it to another level. If you can't call it in real time and you can't watch the replay in real time or even at half a second, you know, a 50% speed, and you can't make a different call, then that's it. You can't go frame by frame. That's not what this is about. That's not what this shit is for. How anticlimactic is this? Now, every single time you watch a game that's close, you're going to have to be like, I don't know. Is it really over? I don't know.
No, right? That's... Come on. Think about what replay has conditioned you to do, right? Premier League, you score a goal, you start looking for offsides, you start looking for VR.
That's even worse, right?
You start looking for VAR.
They'll let you know later on in the game.
Right. Right. They'll let you know that, you know, they'll let you start celebrating like, huh, just kidding, motherfucker.
Psych.
Offside.
And that's like, actually even more, I don't know how, like, I mean, listen, I watch soccer, but I'm not a really avid fan of soccer. But if you were an avid fan of soccer, that has to piss you off. Mm-hmm. There's times where it's like a toenail's length offsides. That's garbage. It's garbage.
It's your boot. It is the studs on your boot. If you're that much offside, you are offside. But think about baseball. How many guys have we seen called out because for a microsecond something imperceivable to the human eye.
Baseball is even worse now.
It's ridiculous.
Right? Now the ball going into the glove. It has to get into the glove, right?
Yes.
Or when they're stealing and they slide over the base and they come off the base by like a hair. That... Oh, you get the tag on him. He's out. Or
exactly.
Better yet, the new ABS where the ball just tips the strike zone. Just touches the strike zone a little bit. You to strike.
But that is a bastardization of what replay is supposed to be. And why is it that way? Why have they bastardized it? Because of the gambling. This reeks of gambling. Now, Western Michigan covered the spread. I mean, the spread was 50. So, that's a, you know, so say what you will. Everybody expected a whooping. They didn't get a whooping. But that's what we're talking about here. Why are we doing this? Why are we hammering down on officiating? Why are we integrating replay to the extent that we're integrating replay? It's to satisfy the gambling. And you're not going to get gambling out. I get it. That is done. It's not going to happen. It's over. Gambling is as ingrained in sports as hot dogs at this point. It's done. But could you be a little less blatant about it? Like that's all I'm saying here.
Yeah, but imagine if you were the Western Michigan guy who put $50 on your team to win.
Yeah.
You won.
You did.
And then it was taken away from you.
Well,
lawsuit.
Here's the thing. Like, we've seen like FanDuel and DraftKings like give cover stuff like that. They've given their money back. I don't know if they've done that yet. So, in a controversial situation like this, it would behoove FanDuel, DraftKings, whoever, Kalshi, like, give your money back. But we'll see what they do. But it couldn't be any more blatant. But if you're Michigan, you cannot be. Like, you deserve to lose that game. You flat out deserve to lose that game. You managed 7 points. Seven against that team. At home.
Open
against
weekend.
Against the MAC
all
conference.
All the guys that didn't get into Michigan.
Right. And you're looking at the magic number was 12 in this game, right? 12 punts, 12 points for Western Michigan, 12 completed passes for Bryce Underwood, who's making $12 million in NIL. 12 of 22 for 170 yards and a tutty. Is that worth $12 million to you? If you're Michigan, you have a little buyer's remorse there. And I get it. You know, you can grow into a position, but $12 million, like that's...
No.
For that performance, no. No.
They should be ashamed of themselves. And, you know, they like you said, Western Michigan is contesting the results of the game, which they should. Likely it won't be overturned. And if it's not overturned, Michigan owes them.
Yeah.
Michigan owes them big time. You better go and play there for the next 5 years and help them out. You know what? Because it's garbage. I mean, to stand by that product, Big Ten's going to stand by that product? What team? What? I mean, obviously, other than money, why would any other team go there and play if you're going to cheat like that? I'm going to call it and say what it is. It's cheating. It's fraud and it's cheating.
That's
we
it.
All the... saw it. I can't stress how everybody saw it. And you know what, Z? If, like we talked about in the production meeting, if you're the referee that's sitting at home or sitting on the sideline and you notice there's a difference in your clock versus their clock, then fucking say something before the last play of the game.
Buzz over.
We're putting one more second on the clock. We check with the sideline referee and there's another second that needs to be added on the clock. Because that's what it came down to. Don't give me the tenths of a second or ninths of a second. There isn't a whole second that goes by. All right?
And I don't need Terry McAuliffe saying it either.
But every single game now that ends on a Hail Mary, check the replay.
Well,
come on. If you're not the coach, if you're not the coach of the losing team, go check the replay. What time did it hit the ground? When was it incomplete? I want to know. I think I get another play.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that also I mean, it's built into the NFL, right? That you have the booth review within the 2 minutes, and you have the fail-safe against something like this, right? So college football, you got to start implementing this. And you know what? The Fail Mary, right? Richard Rodgers even admitted it. That was an incomplete pass. Like he shouldn't have been awarded a touchdown. Everybody knew it. So,
but hold on. In that situation, energy was very high.
It's a difference
in that stadium. They had replacement refs that had been botching the game the whole game. Like up until that point, it was a little edgy all season. They couldn't overturn that. If they were overturned, that there would have been a fucking riot outside.
Agreed. And not just because I had Aaron Rodgers and Richard Rodgers on my fantasy team.
Like I said, I mean, if I'm the coach, even if my kids go back on that field, I'm telling them, grab their arms. I don't care.
Cut
their legs. Don't let them catch this ball. Forget about batting it down. Grab their motherfucking arms. Mm-hmm. Don't let them reach up. Don't let them do anything. And let's just get the hell out of here, because this is ridiculous.
It is.
So like I said, I mean, it's a shame, and it further goes against my thing. For every replay they get right, they get 5 wrong. And in that situation, what are we doing this for? It slows the pace of the game. It doesn't make... I'm not excited. I'm not looking forward to it. People say they like the ABS challenges for baseball. I don't like it. Just go to the robo ump. End this. Forget it. I shouldn't have to ask for a replay. There's an umpire and a referee there for a reason. He's supposed to use his discretion on the calls. He made his call, and I gotta respect his call. Now, the only thing I would say is, if you want to bring replay into the playoffs, you want to bring into championship games, fine. But it's got to go for the regular season. You got to limit it. I'm not into expanding it. That's not what I want. I'm not into that. I live with it. I actually like something Chris Sale said. Chris Sale says his job is to call balls and strikes. I'm not going to challenge his calls. That's his job. My job is not to tell him what he's doing. My job is to get people out. I shouldn't have to worry about that. The same thing. And I understand the game is going fast. And I've always defended referees, because I don't believe wins and losses come down to one play. Now I'm wrong, though. Mm-hmm. But no, there was a whole game being played, you know? I mean, Western Michigan could have done themselves a favor and been up by more, but that's just the way the game ended.
Well, they also took the lead on the field goal, and then they let Michigan come back down the field. Play a little bit of defense. You play some defense, right. You don't put yourself in that position.
Sure.
100%.
That can be argued all up and down. Just the way that it all went down is the ugly part of it. Now, if Michigan had thrown a Hail Mary and won the game outright, then we can say all those things. But they were literally given a second chance when they shouldn't have been given a second chance.
Correct.
Which is horseshit.
You like fishing?
How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Now, on to the pros. Well, the preseason's over, and we finally get our first game tomorrow, where the Patriots will be taking on the Seahawks in Seattle. So, Z, we know up until this point, we've been making our picks for every division. And we're going to do the AFC East at the end of this episode. But what are your way too early picks? Who are your playoff teams, and who makes the Super Bowl?
All right. So since we're done with the NFC, let's talk about the NFC first. In case you guys haven't been listening, I'm pretty high on the Rams. So the number one seed is going to be the Los Angeles Rams. Second seed, you have the Chicago Bears. Third seed, the Eagles. Fourth seed, the Saints. Those are your division winners. Fifth, I got the Seahawks. Sixth, I got the Cowboys. Seventh, I have the Lions. narrowly beating out the Giants. The Giants are going to have a good year. I've been saying that. That they're going to have a surprising year. They're going to be in the mix. But I think the Lions edge them out. AFC. This one's got a little bit of spoiler, but that's all right. Just tune into the order up for the rest of the division.
Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Jeez, lupus.
Can we just talk about that for a second? They're starting their season off in Tennessee.
Correct.
Against Robert Saleh.
Correct.
And the Titans. Could you imagine if they lose that game? They kind of got to win that game, right?
Yeah. I would say so. Especially since the leading tackler was just involved in an ATV accident. The leading tackler for the Titans. So their best defensive player will not be playing.
It's just that they've got like a bad like couple of weeks. Like they're going to play the Titans. Then they got to play the Packers. Then they got to play the Lions. And then they got to play the Bears.
Yeah.
So if they don't win first game, they're going to be 0-4.
Yeah. The Giants have an equally tough schedule. They could easily be 1-3. The Giants could easily be 0-4. So whoever did the schedule, did not do them any favors. Yeah, god damn it, son of a bitch. Schedule Appalachian State. Oh wait, no, don't schedule Appalachian
State.
No.
Western Michigan.
No, don't schedule Western Michigan. They won. No, schedule Rutgers. Schedule Rutgers. So at the top of the AFC, I've got the Denver Broncos, followed by the Patriots second, Jags third, Steelers fourth. Bills first wild card, Bengals second wild card, and the Texans are the last team in. Championship games, NFC title game, I got a rematch, but it's not of the NFC title game. No. It is from the quarterfinals when the Bears took on the Rams. This time, it ain't gonna be in Chicago. It's gonna be in SoFi. Nice in a warm and a controlled dome. And Matt Stafford's going to sling that bitch all over the yard. Rams get to the Super Bowl. AFC title game, I got a rematch there too. But this time, Patriots-Broncos. And this time, I actually think that Bo Nix will be there. I think we can all agree that the Broncos would have been in the Super Bowl if they didn't have to start Jarrett Stidham. I think we can all agree with that. So, I got the Broncos beating the Patriots, and I have the Rams beating the Broncos in the Super Bowl. What do you got, Dick?
All right, so I'm not going to go into all my playoff picks, but I'm just going to jump right into the championship games. So I have Dallas and the Bears in the NFC championship game. And then I have the Bengals and the Texans in the AFC championship. And then in the championship, I've got the Bengals, and I've got Dallas.
Oof.
I've got Dallas and the Bengals, and I feel like they're both the same version of each other. They're the AFC and NFC version of each other. Lots of scoring, not a lot of defense. And I just think that's how it's going to roll out. For Burrow and company, it's now or never. So I think they play tough all year. They score a lot of points. They get into the playoffs. And they find themselves against the Texans team, against CJ Stroud. And on the other side, you have Dallas. Again, this is their last hurrah, I think, with Jerry Jones at least still alive. And where everything just kind of falls into place. They've got two stud wide receivers. They've got really good running back. I think the defense is better than last year. They've got two really good defensive tackles. I am not very high on the NFC East like you are. I don't think those teams are any good. So I think they run amok and they find themselves, you know, facing the Bears. And again, they're facing Caleb Williams, who is in only his, you know, he's pretty new at this. So I think in his third year, he doesn't get it done. And I think that's what it all comes down to. It comes down to veteran teams make it. And then I think the Bengals actually win the Super Bowl. I think they finally get it. So that's where I got it. I mean, the Rams, listen, Aaron Donald's not even going to Australia, and I kind of agree with that.
He wasn't going to play week one anyway.
It doesn't make sense for him to go. No. And I think they have to, if they're going to compete at a high level this year, they need to really just think about how they're going to play their guys. Like, you can't be playing Aaron Donald 60 plays. He can't. You play him on first and second down, and you spread him out. That's just my opinion on it. Like, he's 35 years old, and as good of a shape he is, as good of a player he is, I think football is too tough of a sport for you to come off the street and just start throwing people around. I just think so. And as good as their front four are, and as good as their front seven are, their back half is not that great. They don't have the best DBs. They don't have the best corner. So they're going to have to game up front to really make a dent on it. And I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm saying they definitely can. They just, Davante Adams is another one. He's a year older. Is he going to be the stud he was last year? And you know it all revolves around Stafford. If Stafford can stay healthy and stuff, he can play all the games. You know, they have a rookie, Simpson, who can't really do it. Puka is going to get suspended, probably just one game, but it's something that plays into stuff. So I don't see them being in there in the end. I do like the Bears. I do like that. Broncos are definitely a good team. I can see them competing. Bills are a good team. I can see them competing. It's just that Bo Nix, his inconsistency worries me. I like Bo Nix a lot. It's just that we saw last year, look at when he played against the Giants. He played a shit three quarters, and all of a sudden he became this, they played a prevent defense, and then he's nickel and diamond it all over the field. And it's not going to be that way.
No, he's not going to be that way all the time. But you figure that Sean Payton has learned from years previous, right? That Bo Nix is capable of taking the next step. But that requires some management on his part.
It requires some maturity too, right?
Yeah, it requires maturity. But at the same time, he has a good head on his shoulders. He absolutely does. At this point, Dak Prescott is who he is. I don't have any degree of confidence that he can get this team to the promised land. I'm not convinced at this point. And you always have to worry about injury with Dak. And if they have to go to Sam Howell, but that goes to everybody, right? If Joe Burrow goes down, you got to go to Joe Flacco on an extended period. If Stafford goes down, you're going to have Ty Simpson. If, you know, the only really, like, super capable backups are, like, the Gardner Minshews of the world, the James Winstons of the world, and that's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like, that's good enough to get you beat. If any of these teams lose their quarterback, they're in big fucking trouble. So we could make the argument that any of these 14 teams could make a run. And the same way that any of these 14 teams could be shit out of luck because the quarterback gets hurt. So I get what you're saying about the wide receiver thinness of the Rams. Like, we've been saying that. It is quite thin. But this just underscores how important the quarterback position is. And how, like, it really is the engine that drives the car. Yes, at the end of the day, yes, you have your Myles Garrett and you have your Aaron Donald and you have Cam Curl. You have all these players on the Rams defense, and the Rams defense will keep you in the game. You still got to score points.
Yeah, and if let's you... Not see, let's not sleep on the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm surprised that no one's picking them. They might be the most disrespected Super Bowl champion in the history of football. Like, I understand that, you know, they lost their offensive coordinator and, you know, and they lost their Super Bowl MVP running back. But this team still has a really good head coach. They still have really good defensive players. They probably have arguably the best receiver in the second best receiver in the league. And they've gotten a young running back. But, you know, just don't think you're just going to walk them over.
You're not going to walk them over, but I think it's more of an indication that they don't believe in Sam Darnold as much as people, you know, want to. especially after two good years. Two. Yes, I get he's won a Super Bowl ring.
Well, we know who Sam is.
We know who Sam is. The two years.
He's gonna be top five in interceptions.
Right. The two recent years do not outweigh his past.
That's right.
And that's the reason why Baker Mayfield's not, and that's why the Bucs aren't on this list. Yeah, congratulations, Baker. You got your contract extension, 3 years, 150 something million, 160 something million. I don't trust you. Like, yeah. I paid 50 mil and I don't trust you, dude. And at the end of the day, is it going to be same old Sam? Like we talked about SOS with Ray Harchin last week, same old Steelers. Is this going to be same old Sam? But you kind of think eventually that, you know, the slipper comes off. The carriage turns back into a pumpkin. So they're a good team. I think that they're going to run into something. And they're going down. Plain and simple. That's it. They're going to run into something. Whether that's the Rams or I think the Bears can beat them. I think the Bears are more than capable. And we're in for a treat because we have a lot. We have quality up and down, right? In terms of the top of the divisions, right? In terms of the top of the conference. If you told me that we ended up with Eagles-Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised. Or Eagles-Jaguars. Or, you know, anything of that nature. The Jaguars have been on the come for, like, the past couple years.
I do like the Jaguars. They're a team that it's going to be the Texans or the Jaguars. I do believe
the Jags are a sleeper. The Jags are a sleeper. I definitely think that they can make a run.
I think the Texans play better defense.
Yes, that is true. But
people are coming after me.
If we're going to split hairs, right? Texans play better defense. Jaguars have a better quarterback. Who would you rather have, CJ Stroud or Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, we're definitely in a little bit of a hair splitters convention at this point in time. But we're kicking off tomorrow. Like, this is it. This is go time. And this will all be meaningless, right? All these way too early predictions will be meaningless in just a little while, just a very short time.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com. All right, moving over to the NBA, where they dropped the hammer on the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard. So, we always talk about Adam Silver being soft, but I don't know, man. He might have gotten this right. So, just in case anybody doesn't know, the Clippers were fined 5 first-round picks. They were fined $30 million, and their owner has been suspended for a whole year for violating the salary cap, making circumvention rules in the case of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was also fined $700,000. Are you satisfied, Zeke?
First off, let's give a shout out to Pablo Torre. Nailed this one. Good job, Pablo. And now in the past week, he's kind of taken his energy and rechanneled it into potential corruption with the Dodgers.
And the Knicks too, I heard.
And the Knicks. So he's a muckraker at this point. He's just exposing people. He's a whistleblower. That's what Pablo Torre's doing. And ESPN is catching shit for their inconsistencies in their reporting. So that's good. Like Shams Charania. He's getting called to task a little bit as well, based on his reporting of the Kawhi Leonard fallout. But in these dealings, Kawhi Leonard made $28 million. $28 million. for a no-show job with this company that is owned by Steve Ballmer. And then the Daktronics board, who, you know, gave him money for not necessarily doing anything, right?
No-show job.
Another no-show job, right? You don't even have to do that. You don't have to do a thing. And where is that Daktronics board? Oh, it happens to be in the Intuit Dome. Oh, and who happens to play? Oh, the Clippers happen to play there. The Clippers got what they deserved in all of this. Effectively, the death penalty. They're going to be done for a while. And the only way that they can recoup is to start trading guys off their roster. But when you look at the roster, who is getting you a first-round pick back? Who?
Well, I think there's a couple things they could do, right? I mean, so they've lost five first-round
picks. Yes, yes.
But they're getting two back with the trade with the Raptors.
Yeah, if they let that trade go through. Ah, should the NBA... That's another question. That's the next follow-up. Should the NBA just let that trade go through?
I think the only way... I mean, I would let it go through, but the only way... See, Ballmer has enough money where he could just say, screw it. Like, the way to get back his picks is to take on bad contracts, right?
Right.
You would trade for players that, you know, obviously that have really... that are getting paid a lot of money that they don't deserve, and just X for the team to throw in their first round. And that's the way you're going to be able to get your money back.
At this point, you're keeping Kawhi Leonard. Money he doesn't deserve. That's kind of, he's the poster boy at this point. Paul George. Oh, wait a minute. They already did that. Right? Steve Ballmer went the Steve Cohen route. He already did this.
How about it sucks that they cheated and they still lost? They cheated and they still lost. Like, at least the Patriots cheat and they won.
Correct. The Astros. Clippers,
you cheated. Yeah, the Astros cheated and won. The Clippers cheated, got caught, and lost. Set back like what, 10 years? Like,
can't even fucking cheat right.
Play right, like
can't even fucking cheat right.
You can't even cheat right. It makes the right. It makes the Lakers look like such the better franchise, right?
It just doesn't take much.
You know, the thing that I'm having a tough time understanding is if you're Ballmer, right?
Huh?
Aren't you just smarter than this? Aren't you better than this?
Obviously not. But is it smart or is it hubris? Think about the context in which Steve Ballmer got into the league, right? They personally went for him in light of the Donald Sterling thing.
Right.
So at some point you kind of feel like, you know, I was handpicked by the NBA. But maybe I'm a little untouchable here. Maybe I have a little bit, you know, that air about me that I'm okay. I'm Teflon. Clearly that's not the case. But, you know, that hubris, that arrogance is what ultimately bite people in the ass, right? Think about like guys like Al Capone. It wasn't the murders. It wasn't the racketeering. It's tax evasion, baby. White collar crime. Who's it hurt? Who's it hurt? Son of a bitch. Yes, it's the seemingly innocuous thing, right, that gets you going. And to your point, they're not the only team that does this to incentivize players to come play for them.
They can't be.
But they're the only ones stupid enough to get caught. Yes. Now, Adam Silver, I'll give him credit. He actually grew a set. And he actually did what he needed to do, because this needed to be a deterrent. This needed to be a head on a spike, right? Think about like SMU way back when. They had to go the death penalty for SMU. Otherwise, other organizations, other schools would have done what SMU did. And lo and behold, what SMU did is now legal. But that's neither here nor there. they got it right. Adam Silver got it right as far as punishing the organization, suspending the executives, not just Ballmer. Multiple executives within the organization are banned as well.
Right.
So
you had President of Business Operations Gillian Zucker was suspended without pay for 1 year. President of Basketball Operations Lawrence Frank was also suspended without pay for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So Ty Lue is running the show. Okay. That's all right. At least when Major League Baseball suspended Steinbrenner for the Howie Spiro thing, Gene Michael was there. Like, you had a guy that was competent enough to run the organization. I don't know who is going to be running the day to day with Steve Ballmer not there. NBA got that right. In my opinion, the failure lies with not getting more money back from Kawhi Leonard. $700K is couch cushion money compared to the $28 million he earned. Earned, in air quotes. Now, you've made this argument, and, you know, I understand what you're saying, that, you know, if the team presents me with this offer, I'm not going to say no. But at the same time, if I'm peddling this offer around to 29 other teams and they say no, and I find the team that's dumb enough to say yes, I've already initiated the conversation. So I'm culpable in this, right? I'm the one who's kind of like, and yeah, you can throw the agent under the bus, like, you know, he's Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. You can do that, right? You can say, this is the guy. He's the one. But do agents normally act without the consent of their clients? No.
Well, in this case, it was his uncle, right?
Right. Well, there you go. His uncle acting as his agent and in negotiating in his stead. Right, in his stead. He's acting on behalf of the player. You're telling me that Unk isn't, like, telling him what's going on? You're telling me Kawhi Leonard's not signing off on this? I find that very hard to believe. Right? I can't believe that his uncle went rogue and presented this to all 30 teams. I can't believe it.
It's just very surprising for him. San Jose State, I believe, he came from. And going to San Antonio and then, you know, getting shipped off to the Raptors kind of makes sense now a little bit, right? Probably was asking shit back when he was in San Antonio. And they're like, what are you talking about, man?
Right.
What are you talking about?
And it's Texas, so it's tax-free.
And he goes to Toronto, and they're not able to keep him because they're not able to keep up. And then, you know, lo and behold, the Clippers come along. And so it just goes to show, like, he's not caring about really winning. He's caring about getting a deal and getting paid. Because he didn't even really play. He didn't play in LA. He was always hurt.
Poster child for load management.
He played his last season, though.
I wonder why. I wonder why. So, I find that...
NBA 75th anniversary team.
Take a drink. Take a drink. But
it's better than that Manu Ginobili guy, right?
Yeah. But, so, you're under the impression that they will let this trade go through.
Yeah.
So, what makes you think that they're gonna... That they won't, like, kind of... Or alter the trade?
He can't go back there. He'll never play in LA again. Like, even when the Raptors play the Clippers, he won't play. And when the Raptors play the Lakers, he won't play. He'll never play in LA again. No doubt. They just need to get him out of town. You know, that's really what I think. If there was a way that they could end his season, they would. You know. But you know, Adam Silver has always been a player. And that's why he didn't come down hard on Kawhi, because he's coming down on the owners. He's coming down on the owner of the team. You know, looking out for him, right? That's what he always does.
He always errs on the side of the player in the player-owner disputes. That is true. But when the player is so egregious and so... ballsy. I know. It doesn't. They got it, but Pablo Torre's
go to war with the owners who actually pay him.
Right. Right. That's the insane part. Pablo Torre's got him dead to rights. He's got him dead to rights. It doesn't matter. You're going to believe me. You're going to believe your lying eyes.
It's unbelievable how, like, a week before this all came down, the NBA said they found nothing. You remember that?
Yes. Yes.
Nothing. So, and all of a sudden,
oh, I know nothing.
Actually, we're going to do something.
Yeah. No, like, we're done.
Imagine paying all this money for a team, paying all this money for a stadium, and now you can't even go through the front doors. that's gotta hurt a billionaire.
That sucks. That definitely sucks. Especially with somebody like Steve Ballmer.
You
like
Dan Snyder this shit. Watch. He's gonna come after everybody.
He may.
Because he says he disagrees with the NBA's findings and it's all a witch hunt. I don't even know why you're staying there. Just own it. You're a billionaire, own it.
You got me. You got me.
Go pay guys.
That's it.
Yeah, you know what? You want to be competitive? Go pay guys. Free agency?
That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Billions of dollars. You can afford to go over the second apron. That don't mean shit to you.
Right. So.
And be stupid about it. Fuck up the whole player market. Fuck it all up. Play trash players $100 million. Fuck it all up. For everybody. That's all. There's ways you can get back at
them. There are ways, and he could try to inflate the market, but we've seen markets correct themselves. Just two seasons ago in Major League Baseball, there was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge opportunity to kind of hold salaries down a little bit, and they did. They did. And then Juan Soto got paid $800 million. Right? You know, Shohei Ohtani got paid three-quarters of a billion bajillion dollars. Yes. But there is a way for the other owners to counter-strike this. Right? The same way he pays stupid money, they can pay even stupider money, or they could just have at it. You pay. You do that. You absolutely pay Buddy Hield $134 million. You do that. Enjoy. You see what that does for you. You're now over the second apron and you're in last place. So, you know, there are ways around this. You don't want to go to war within your own fraternity, so to speak. He knows a lot, right? You when you're privy to the secrets, you definitely can be dangerous. That is true. That is 100% true. But that is, you know, that can be very dangerous for you as well. Especially if you decide that you just want to go nuclear. Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
The choice is yours. Swipe left or swipe right.
All right, boys and girls, on the eve of this NFL season, we have a special edition of Swipe Left or Swipe Right. That's right, my online dating fans. If we like this quarterback, we're going to swipe right on him. If we don't like this quarterback for this season, we're going to swipe left on him. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Swipe left or swipe right, number one, Titans quarterback Cam Ward.
These are tough. So we swipe left, we like him, right?
If we swipe left, we don't like him.
No, if we swipe left, we don't like him, huh?
Yep.
I like Cam Ward. I like him. I want to like him. I think, you know, he had a rough rookie season, but I think he's going to be better this year. They got Brian Daboll there. He kind of knows a little bit about offense. I think Wandale Robinson will be very helpful. I don't know about Tate. Tate seems like maybe an Ohio State miss. I like Cam Ward this year.
I'm going to swipe right on him as well. The numbers last year weren't bad. 15 touchdowns, 7 picks. Not bad, not great. Got to clean up the picks a little bit. He only completed 59.8% of his passes. So that's something that he definitely needs to clean up. Having a slot receiver like Wandale Robinson definitely will work in his advantage. Having a guy like Brian Daboll calling plays for him, definitely going to help him as well. He'll be more mobile. He'll be more explosive. I think that is going to benefit him. Now, if he can't clean up the turnovers, it's going to be a long year. Now, fortunately for him, expectations are still relatively low of the Tennessee Titans, right? We both picked them to finish dead last. You expect them to be in contention for the number one pick. So he has the opportunity to kind of say, fuck it, and just ball out. And if he does that, right? If he just throws caution to the wind and say, nobody expects us to do anything of note anyway, so we might as well just play with our hair on fire and play balls to the wall. You may catch lightning in a bottle here. So I am definitely going to swipe right on Cam Ward. He is going to have a pretty good year for a dog shit team. Swipe left or swipe right on Malik Willis.
All right, so I'm going to swipe left on this one. I think this is a whole Matt Flynn situation. You know, everything's new down there. The only weapon down there is Achane. I don't know how many times we can give him the ball. But for the Jets' sake, I hope the Miami Dolphins win.
I am also swiping left on Malik Willis. I am concerned that he got a shit ton of money for 6 career touchdowns and 3 career picks. Right? Essentially, Matt Flynn got paid off of that one game. So, career 67% passer. He's a 3-3 career. He's only in 22 games. He's only had a 3-3 record in 22 games. That's all you need to know. Not great. 1,322 passing yards for his career. And he just got a boatload of dough from the Miami Dolphins. And who is he throwing to, you might be asking? Malik Washington, Caleb Douglas, Chris Bell. Is that you, Tolbert? This isn't very funny, you know. Greg Dulcich. Yeah. Achane's probably the best guy they got. Ollie Gordon. Like, he had flashes, but no. Ooh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be a very bad year for Malik Willis, provided they don't get him some weapons. Like one Mr. Darius Slayton, who got cut by the Giants. Swipe left or swipe right on Josh Allen. This is a tough one.
I'm going to swipe left on him this year. I just think at some point it's got to come down, right? Even Burrow had a bad year. Mahomes had a bad year. Like, at some point, you can't keep taking these hits. Joe Brady's going to be the offensive coordinator and head coach this year. I think it's hard to do both of those things. So I'm going to swipe left on Josh Allen.
This is going to be tough. It's he takes a beating. Then that's the problem with Josh Allen, right? Because he's such a big, strong dude and he takes the hits, it's a lot like Ben. You're always concerned that he's going to deliver as much punishment as he gets. But how much can you really continue to rely on that, right? How much longer do you think he has in that position? At some point, you either have to learn to slide or you have to throw the ball away, right? And then when he went to slide, he pitched it to nobody last year in the playoffs. Lest we forget. So the weapons aren't all that great. You have DJ Moore, Shakir, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer. Okay, that doesn't really excite me at all. Kincaid and Knox, good tight end. This is a running team, right? James, you have James Cook. You have James Cook, one of the best running backs in the league.
Brother of Dalvin.
Yeah, brother of Dalvin. Brother of Dalvin, absolutely.
Not Dalvin, but Dalvin.
Dalvin. Former Jet, Dalvin Cook. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yep, that's how I remember him.
Oh, yeah. Don't we all? Oh, wait, he played Minnesota? That's good. He was a cowboy? Bit. He was a cowboy?
Yeah, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, shit. How about that? Yeah. How about that? For, you know, those Jet alumni games are amazing, man. You're going to have, on one side, you're going to have Le'Veon Bell. On the other side, you're going to have Dalvin Cook. Like, that's a great fucking, that's great. You know, you'll have Marcus, you'll have, you'll Braylon Edwards on one side. You have Santonio Holmes on the other. But you got a lot of great talent. You have a lot of great talent on both sides. That green and white game. Dude, that green and white game's amazing. You got Vinny on one side. You got Chad on the other. Fantastic. But to tie it back to Josh Allen, I'm swiping left on him this year. This roster, with the exception of Shakir, like, as DJ Moore's, he's all right. He isn't, but Shakir is the guy who's been on this roster and he's been one of the more consistent targets. This just screams regression. This just screams the fact that Allen's going to have to take more onto his plate. And when Josh Allen takes more onto his plate, that's when bad shit happens. That's when things start to collapse for the Buffalo Bills. Still be a good team. They'll still absolutely be a good team. But I think it's time to kind of change how things went, right? Who is the quarterback that we liken him to the most? John Elway. John Elway eventually had Terrell Davis. And for a short time, they turned the ball over, they turned the reins over to Terrell Davis, and it changes the complexion of the team. Right? You have James Cook. He changes the complexion of your team. Use him. Use him, and you will make Josh Allen even more of a weapon by default.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show, takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Mr. Dejan Love. You scamming son of a bitch. Ripping people off. Claiming you're a Niners wideout. Apparently
they got,
this...
They got guys claiming wideouts. Then their number one wideout's asking to be traded on Instagram.
What the fuck is going on? Ridiculous. Well, you knew he wasn't really a wideout for the 49ers because his knees were intact. That's all you need to know about Mr. Dejan Love. And apparently, this is not just exclusive to him because a comedian went out to see how easy this was. How easy it was to fool people. And you know what? It was pretty easy. That's not good. That's not good. There's a sucker born every minute, like P.T. Barnum once said. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right, so first up, I've got the Big Ten Conference posing Western Michigan in a game they played against Michigan in Ann Arbor. No time left on the scoreboard, yet they called for an untimed down, where Michigan completes the Hail Mary and wins the game over Western Michigan, which is garbage. Absolute garbage. Big Ten, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think that's going to win. Number two, I've got the head coach of LSU, Lane Kiffin. Up 31-10 against Clemson. For some reason, there is a basketball hoop on your sideline and you decided to take a jump shot. That's disrespectful, Holmes. Unsportsmanlike conduct. We're up all these points and we don't even have our pros out there. You're a jerk. Lane Kiffin, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who become the first team to be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs this year. They are currently 54-90. They will likely lose 100 games. Los Angeles, Angels of Anaheim, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Well done. Well done. You have a couple of strong ones there. You have some really strong candidates. You came to play today. 100% you did. I am going to start with Rutgers. I already mentioned him twice in this show. And Rutgers went and scheduled UMass, thinking that, hey, you know what? This is going to be a cakewalk, right? They even paid UMass to come to Piscataway, right?
Piscataway.
They had to pay somebody. They had to pay somebody to go to Piscataway.
That's crazy.
I gotta pay people to go to Piscataway. Now, not only that, UMass was on a 16-game losing streak. And it was a 23-game road losing streak. So they were doubly bad. So a 16-game losing streak, you pay UMass to come here. Schiano is like, all right, we got this, no problem, right? Right, it's in the bag. UMass 37, Rutgers 21. Not a great way to start your season. Rutgers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Major League umpire Doug Eddings. Doug, chastising Cardinals reliever in his Major League debut because his hat was slightly crooked, held up the game because Hansel Rincon, who is a kid, had his cap slightly to the left. This isn't a Lou Brown situation where it's we wear caps and sleeves in this league, son. No, this is a straighten your hat, you son of a bitch. You're not going to wear your uniform like that on my field. In fact, that is what he said. That is what he said to Ali Marmol as he was throwing him out of the game. So there's that. Number one. Number two.
There's that.
There's more. Like, not only did he chastise the pitcher, he also called a pitch clock violation after picking a fight with people. He picked a fight with the pitcher. He picked a fight with the Cardinals manager, charged a pitch clock violation to the pitcher, and then made such an egregiously bad call at the plate that Major League Baseball had to come out and say what he did was beyond the pale. He really screwed this up. He's really having a bad day. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what set him off. I don't know what kind of falling down moment Doug Eddings had. But, dude, you can't be picking fights with people. You can't be police. You're not the uniform police. Like, what the fuck? And for all the guardians of the game out there who are like, that's how, you know, you tell them, Doug. Nobody wears their uniform that way. Nobody wears their cap that way. CC Sabathia.
Which doesn't make any sense because there are players in Major League Baseball that wear their hats like that.
Correct.
Or at least in the past, like, I remember CC Sabathia would wear his hat to the side. Like, there are players that wear their hats different whenever they want to.
Absolutely. But you have CC Sabathia, you have Fernando Rodney, you have lots of guys who have worn their hats crooked. Yeah. The archery thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have guys who have worn their hats the way that this kid has worn their hats.
Yeah. I'm not sure what his problem was. But I'm glad that Major League Baseball came out and said something, and I believe that he even came out and apologized the next day. And all the players on the team came out and wore their hats crooked in support of their pitcher, which was even better. What does it matter? You're an umpire. You're just there to call the game. And soon we don't even need him to call the game. There are other people. There are operations guys that are out there that are there to police the uniforms to make sure everybody is abiding by the rules. This is a young kid. He doesn't know. He's thinking. He's trying to remember the scouting report. He's not thinking about how he's wearing his hat at the moment. And you're going to come at him? I'm proud of their manager for coming out and supporting the player. I'm proud of everybody else from the Cardinals who also came out and supported their teammate. It's just crazy that something like that would happen in a professional baseball game. You could see that happen on the high school level. You could see that happening on the college level. But to have that happen in a Major League Baseball game, this kid is always going to remember the first time he came out there and he was thrown out of the game. Wearing his hat a different certain way. Absolutely terrible. We give the umpires too much power. We don't put them through enough training.
It screams boomer. And Doug Eddings just needs to get over it. Doug Eddings, you are my... That's it. That's it. Nobody came to watch you ump. Nobody came to watch you ump, Doug. Never forget that. Doug Eddings, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Everton. Oh, this is great. You know, we're going to let Beto go. We're going to let Tim go. We're going to let Ngai go to Man City. We got guys lined up. We're going to get Flo Balogun. We're going to get Joshua Zirkzee. Nope. They all fell through. Everything fell through except for the tickets out of town. Like, those went through. Ngai is gone. Beto is gone. Tim is gone. You're left with no real striker. You have Tierno Barry, who hasn't proven that he can be a consistent striker. You have Brennan Johnson, who is a streaky winger. You brought Jack Grealish back on a loan. I love Jack Grealish, so I'm never going to say a bad thing about Jack Grealish. But yeah, it just all the goals left Everton. So So I don't know who's going to score at Hill Dickinson moving forward. Everton, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Rob Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.